We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is Focus, our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with it. Harriet Williamson is our producer. Kyle Mabry is at the controls. And we're also happy to have back on the show once again this morning, Rich Warren. He writes about consumer electronics, has a regular column that appears in the News Gazette newspaper, has written for other specialty publications along those lines. He also happens to be the host of a little show called The Midnight Special, which we also air. So occasionally he's been on our air to talk about music, and from time to time here on Focus, we ask him to come and talk about consumer electronics. And since it's a field that changes all the time, and there are always new things, we know people always have questions. And so maybe you're thinking about buying something new television maybe, some piece of audio equipment. Maybe you have questions about what's the best way now if you want to record a television program and watch it some other time. Any and all of that, Rich will do his best to give you an answer, and all you have to do is give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455, email will-talk@illinois.edu. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
For being here.
And, of course, the stores are mobbed, and these days most people are buying electronics for the holidays. It used to be, you know, you could buy clothes and jewelry and things like that, but it seems that stores selling anything that lights up or sounds big, or fits in your shirt pocket, is the thing that people are buying these days. And, of course, the quality is quite good, and the prices have never been lower. Right now we're going through a price dip in LCD TVs. They made too many LCD panels, and thus they are trying to get rid of them all, and the prices are going to go up starting in mid to late January as the supply and demand equalize. So right now the manufacturers are giving the stores great bargains. And I just wanted to reiterate something I wrote in my column recently. Excuse me. That the strange thing is if you go from store A to store B to store C looking for a particular Sony or Samsung TV and you see what looks like the same TV with different model numbers off by a couple of digits or a letter prefix, the companies, the large companies, Sony, Samsung, LG, you name it, they are making specific models for specific stores, so you can't price shop as easily. And these models may be the same or they may not be the same. They look the same, but they may be missing a few features that you wanted or don't need. Or they may have a few more defects as far as dark pixels, for example, that most manufacturers have a limit of one or two bad pixels in a 46-inch picture. Well, maybe the TV at store Y is allowed four bad pixels, which you may or may not see, depending on where they are on the screen. And thus, they can sell it for $199.95 versus $219.95 at store C, which only has three bad pixels on the screen. That's how minutely these things are marketed these days. And so, basically, the only products that, A, never go on sale, and B, are the same throughout the chain are Apple products. So an iPod bought from store A is the same as an iPod bought from store C because Apple doesn't differentiate models except for the amount of memory or whatever they're putting into it or whether it's 3G or just Wi-Fi. So that's one thing that's pretty general, but nobody was advertising Apple doorbusters on Black Friday because Apple doesn't permit that. And thus, whether you shop at store Q or store Z, you're still getting the same Apple product, which is good and it's bad. Apple only starts having discounts when they're discontinuing a model and they let the price fall slightly to make way for the new model the next month or two. So you're not going to see any discounts on iPads till April, probably, when the new model comes out. Then they're going to quickly get rid of the old models and the new model will be out, making the old model, of course, obsolete. So it's one of those things. I just want people to be aware that when they scan the ads in the newspaper or go to the stores that comparison shopping may be difficult. And the worst thing is for the local merchants, the great local dealers we have here in town, who can't get those incredible deals on those slightly different sets and have to sell the national model number and can't compete in price with some of the big box stores because they're not buying a million at a time. They're only buying 100 at a time. but you're going to get ultimately better service from your local dealer. And if you have a problem in the future, you're going to get much more personal service and response if you go to one of our local dealers than if you go to one of those faceless big box stores where there's 47 people standing in line waiting to return something or get it serviced. Mm-hmm. So just remember that you may pay $20 or $30 more at a local dealer, but you're going to get a lot better service, especially when you have a problem, if you have a problem. So that's my spiel for the day. And I see there's already probably a call coming in. So
there is, and we'll take that person. And other calls are welcome, 333-9455 for Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. Also, you may email your questions to will-talk@illinois.edu. First girl up here is in Mahomet, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have been looking at this thing, you know, as it's my most wanted toy this season. And it's made by Bose, and it's called, not SoundDock, but it's an extender. I think I scanned too far, and I lost the name. Anyway, it's this thing that you plug into your computer, and it says you can listen to your music that's on your computer or shows from any room in the house. And I'm wondering if you know anything about it, because I'm afraid if I get it that there will be a time difference, like a time delay in the music that's coming out of the device from Bose compared to my computer speakers. In other words, if I could have my computer and this thing on at the same time so that I could go from one room to another without carrying this thing, you know, then I would be interested in buying it. Do you know if there will be a delay?
Well, delay is probably not the issue. The fact is that when you plug that Bose USB key in so you can hear the music from your computer or the audio from your computer in another room, it silences the speakers in the computer. So you can't run both at once. I've even brought this up to the Bose folks who admit that that's an issue they want to address in the future. But at this point, I do have one of these units. It works flawlessly, but you can't have the music in two rooms. You can't have the computer running at the same time that you have it coming out of your radio in another room or your stereo in another room. So that sort of answers your question, unfortunately. But it does sound terrific, and in our three-floor house, it covers every square inch of the house. There's no place, there's a dead spot. But you're not going to hear it in two rooms at once.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right. So is this some kind of a wireless
It uses
speaker?
The same Bluetooth technology that cell phone headphones and cars use, but they've expanded it. They found out a way to make it cover several hundred feet rather than just 15 or 20 feet. And the fidelity is phenomenal. What it is there's two choices. You can either buy one of their Wave products with the box in the same together as an adapter, or you can buy a separate adapter. And basically, you can take their thing, it looks like their iPod dock, and place it in any room in the house, and then plug this little tiny USB key into your computer. Once you've tuned in, say you're listening to WILL, and it's after dark, and you want a good, clean signal, so you listen to WILL on the web, you plug the little USB key into the computer, and that's all you have to do. And then 30 seconds later, boom, this little box or your Wave radio has beautiful, clear WILL coming from your computer rather than a 580 where it's noisy and you know, because of the late night stuff. So it works beautifully, but it only works on one radio at a time.
Okay.
So it's a wonderful product, and I use it at home because it's great to be able to tune in something on the computer and then hear it in the kitchen. But you can't hear it upstairs in the computer anymore. It's just only in the kitchen.
All right.
So
next we have someone in Indiana, line four. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, there's two things. Number one, I'd like for you to get back to what you were talking about in terms of what are you actually buying at Walmart or Best Buy. I'm upset because I just spent about $4,000 on Christmas gifts, and I started at the level of the iPad and went on up to a 17-inch screen Hewlett-Packard. Got to have this computer, and I'm concerned now is Hewlett-Packard playing this game, or are they more like Apple who want to have proprietary information kept to themselves and they can't, you know, break in on it? The second question has to do with routers. You can move this is an iPad. Can move it maybe 3 feet in one direction, and it's gone. Move it back another 2 feet in another direction, back on. And I'm thinking about there may be some kind of metal things in the walls. It's an old house. I know at times when they did plastering, they would use certain kind of metal screens, you know, for helping hold on to the wall or what. And it's rather strange, and I'm at the place where maybe I just don't have a good router. And if you can even suggest a good router or a couple of good routers so you don't show any bias, I'd like to hear about that too.
Okay. I'm not an expert in the computer area, but I can tell you that for distance, you want the newest standard, which is 811, I guess it's N is the newest iteration of that, which has somewhat greater range than the previous B and G had. And there are multiple frequencies as well that are in use. The newest routers have, I think it's 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz radio frequencies, some of which go through walls better than others, depending on the construction of the wall and everything. You should be able to use your iPad anywhere in the house with a good router, even if you have some metal in the walls. The signal, I would suggest going to a website like PCMag.com or MaximumPC.com and look at their reviews, and they will tell you generally how successful they were with the range of a given router. I think MaximumPC.com recently had a shoot-off between five or six different brands and told you which one has the furthest range and the best throughput, the fastest speed at a given range. Because as you get further from the router, the speed will decline, but you still should be able to be 100 feet away and still get a signal, even in a house that has some metal in the walls. I can pick up my neighbor's router from two houses away. And you know, we all live in wood frame houses, but those things are pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you do that, make sure you are using the best possible encryption, because otherwise your neighbor down the block can steal your signal. Now, you may trust your neighbor, but perhaps your neighbor likes to look at pornography and you don't want that going on your record of things you've browsed. So you best use the best encryption on those units, because they do have a long range. And there are drive-by people who actually do things illegal on the web by driving by people's homes and picking up their signal and then using them to download things or upload things that are not entirely legal or proper. So that's just a warning I give, that you have to be careful when you use one, because the range is great and you should be able to use. I forget if the iPad, what it's, I don't have one yet. I'm planning to wait till the new model comes out in April myself, but which frequencies it supports in the Wi-Fi area. I'm presuming it supports N, because everything does now. But I'd have to look at the Apple specs to remember if it does. But that's the way you want to go generally. And routers have improved dramatically in the past couple of years. They're much faster and have greater range. And so you might want to consider that.
All right. Well, I hope that gets to the question of the caller. Rich Warner is our guest. He writes about consumer electronics for the News Gazette, our paper. He also is a host of a program called Midnight Special. And every once in a while he's here, we talk about consumer electronics. And when we started out doing this, we talked about things like turntables.
Turntables.
and CD players and speakers and televisions. And now more and more we've been talking about how those things get computers connected with them. And also, I do want to mention, by the way, for people who might have computer questions, that later this week, Thursday in the 11 o'clock hour, it'll be our monthly Talk to the Computer Expert show. Now, Rich actually probably knows more about computers than a lot of people, more than me, certainly. But if you have real computer questions, you might want to save those for Thursday. Celeste Quinn will be hosting the show, and Deb Fleiger and James Eyrick will be her guests. They're both here from the U of I. And I know that they know a lot about the Apple stuff. So if you're a Mac user or any kind of questions you have about computers, they'll take them on Thursday. And if you want to talk with Rich about TVs and VCRs and DVDs and stuff like that, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And you can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. Just for a second to go back to the other question about buying, say, like you were going to buy a television set. And you try to do your homework and you read reviews of various sets and try to figure out which one seems to be the best and so forth. So then you say, all right, I want this model by this manufacturer, and so you go out to buy it. How as a consumer do you make sure that you get the set that you're looking for and what it is that you think you're paying for?
That's really hard because even online on the Sony website, they have models that you won't find at the local stores. And they designed some just for their website. So you see these great prices on their website, you know, originally $13.99, now only $11.99. And it's a model Sony either designed just to sell on its website or it's one that wants to get rid of because it didn't sell in the stores. Mm-hmm. So it gets very complicated. What is a nationally advertised brand? I do say that in an upcoming column, and I've mentioned this more than once, also brand names don't mean what they used to. That is, you're certain that if you get a Sony or an LG or a Samsung or a Panasonic, that those indeed are made by those companies. They may have subcontractors in China, but they're still made by those companies. However, when you're going out and buying brands like Philips, Magnavox, Sylvania, Westinghouse, some of those brands, they don't exist. They exist in name only. The entire Philips got out of the TV business 2 years ago, and at least in the U.S., in North America. So all the Philips brands that used to be Magnavox and Sylvania and Philips are now made by a company in Japan called Funai, who doesn't necessarily make them themselves. They are a company that sort of aggregates, and they have factories all over Asia. So it could be made in Thailand, it could be made in China, it could be made in Vietnam, wherever there happens to be a factory. And so it's very confusing about who makes what, but don't assume that you see the name Westinghouse that is made by the company that makes the nuclear power plants and the generators. That's a different Westinghouse. Similarly, General Electric still makes appliances, such as refrigerators, but they don't make TV sets and clock radios and all those consumer items they once made 40 years ago. So it's very confusing to be a consumer. That's why I do recommend local dealers who have to buy the main brand and the main model number of that brand. So if you're looking for a particular Sony set and you go into a local dealer who carries Sony, that will be they can order the one that's reviewed online. And I do think the online reviews are pretty accurate. Soundandvision.com is one, and there's a few others. I think HomeTheaterMag.com have reasonably accurate reviews of this equipment, and you can find out which sets are the best. Even some of the computer sites now have, of course, Consumer Electronics Reviews. PC Magazine expanded its coverage of that area. And that's the only way you can really, you know, you can go to Consumer Reports, of course. That's by subscription, either online or in paper. And their reviews are reasonably good. Sometimes I think they miss the point of things, but they usually they're accurate and honest. And, you know, at least they're not getting free trips to Japan for the reviews, like some of us audio-video writers took in the 80s, 90s. So there, you know, you have to do your research. You have to do your homework. Also, something I've really stressed in my column, when you're buying anything that's big or heavy, buy it locally. I do a lot of shopping online for small stuff. But when it comes to a TV set, first of all, TVs are fragile. Those LCD panels or plasma panels are glass, and they can be broken. And the way the shippers work these days, that's easier than you think. If you get a broken TV delivered to you, then the hassle becomes sending it back. And even if the manufacturer or the seller is willing to pay the freight, which they often don't, you have to file the claim with the shipper. It gets very complicated. So I suggest that if you're going to buy a TV set, whether you go to the big box store or the local dealer, get it where you can drive to the dealer. Because otherwise, you're in for a problem if it arrives broken or it breaks during the warranty. And it gets more complicated. You can't just walk back into the retailer and slam it on the counter and say, I want a new one. You've got to ship it back or get it repaired or whatever. So, yeah, small stuff, I mean, if you're buying, you know, anything that's in a little, like an iPod or whatever, I mean, it doesn't matter where it comes from. But a big thing like a TV is really best not to get it online, only because if it arrives damaged or you have a problem that's not what you wanted or whatever, taking it back can be a real hassle.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to some other callers here. Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. A little bit ago, you spoke of turntables, and I'm thinking about vinyl as a Luddite, as a confirmed Luddite. How about repairs of those things? In particular, I seem to have a trouble with an old Marantz amplifier, which seems to be acting up.
Well, I'm not an expert on that, but I can say that from what readers have told me, they've had very good luck with radio doctors in Champaign, which has been here, it seems like, forever. They were here when I was in college, and stores don't last that long if they're not good. Most of the independent repair people I've known in this town have given up. They've just there's no money to be made because nowadays stuff is made to be thrown away rather than repaired, or it's made to have a whole new circuit board inserted, and you have to be an authorized factory repair station to do that. So the only place I know that may still be repairing that sort of thing is radio doctors. I mean, I can't vouch for them. All I know is I've had good reports about them from readers. Other than that, you can look up in the Yellow Pages, but I really don't know who's sitting in his or her basement these days with a soldering iron working on things like old Marantz equipment. Turntables, fortunately, if the motor's still good, you can usually find a belt for most of the belt drive turntables. They still make belts for quite a few of the models. You just go online and look for that, and putting a new belt on is a piece of cake. If it's a direct drive turntable, you could be in trouble because those things, again, are the kind that basically are hard to repair. So that's about all I can tell you, but you can try radio doctors or look in the Yellow Pages, and I'm not shilling for radio doctors, as I have no connection with them whatsoever, other than they've been here a long time, and people seem to be happy with what they've done.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, very good. To Champaign, then, line number two. Hello.
Yes, hello. I have two questions. The first has to do is with something I've been seeing online, an internet TV. And I wondered what those are and if they can replace, for example, a computer or a laptop. Do they do that type of thing?
Well, this gets really complicated because there's internet TV and there's internet TV and there are boxes that go with your TV that give you some internet connectivity. Generally, internet TVs mean that you can use your TV set to watch movies that are downloaded online, that you can go to Hulu or any of those, even Netflix, places like that, and watch online streamed movies without using a computer in between or a special box. And then there are a whole bunch of boxes of different names. I forget. There's so many different names and brands of boxes. I mean, you know, Apple makes one. I guess, what is it, ITV, whatever they're calling it, Apple TV. Mm-hmm. And there's Roku, and there's this box and that box. That all offer something work with Netflix and some work with other suppliers. And the cable companies are getting really angry now and threatening. There was just a news story on NPR News this morning that Comcast is thinking of putting a surcharge on the company that distributes Netflix on the internet because people are watching the movies on Netflix for half the price that Comcast is charging people to watch the same movie. But there are TVs. You'll see Sony and I believe Samsung and some of the others are now advertising that their TVs do connect to the internet and can, in fact, some of them may even have storage to download things or at least watch the movie as it's streaming live. So there are numerous possibilities, and frankly, it gets really confusing which TV offers what and what it can do for you, whether it, you know, has the capability as a hard drive in it to store this stuff or whether you have to watch it as it's streaming. So yes, internet TVs are the future. That's the way to go. They want to take the PC out of the equation or the laptop so you can actually have access to entertainment. But as far as going to websites in general, most of them won't do that. You probably can't go to Wikipedia on your TV set at this point, although that may change because they're all trying to ace the computer people out of this and keep the home entertainment business with the connections. So that's about what I can tell you. There may be experts who know more about it. Maybe the computer people coming on Thursday could even give you a more precise answer on that area. But generally, right now, TVs can receive entertainment from the internet, but they're not a replacement for a computer.
I see. But it may be like some types of it could possibly replace, though, having to have cable?
At the moment, yes. You can, in fact, get away without having cable. Except that, of course, the TVs need a high-speed broadband internet connection. And where are you going to get that from other than either your cable company or ATV UVerse?
Yeah.
So you're still stuck with the cable company. And, of course, my cable company, I have Mediacom, and they have this little ploy where if you want broadband internet, you still have to buy basic television service, or otherwise they charge you more for the internet connectivity.
Well, that's not fair. I don't understand how the cable companies get away with this stuff.
Because they're basically unregulated. The state sort of gives them carte blanche to do what they want, unlike the old days when AT&T was Ma Bell and the state said, you charge this for this service. Those days are history.
Well, wish somebody would put them in their place. But
I agree.
My other question is, when WILL-AM started offering the station on an FM 2 capability, how do you find those radios and such that have – I've kind of looked around a little and asked a little, and people don't really seem to know much about FM 2 and what that means exactly, and is there an affordable type of radio that you can buy? Or I've just had trouble finding something with that, FM 2, in order to get 580 more clearly.
HD radio is unfortunately one of the bigger flops. Most stations are broadcasting with HD now, at least in the major markets. I think it's only two or three here in Champaign-Urbana, of which WILL is one of them. But if you go into the stores, I think, for example, I've been told that Best Buy has one model of HD radio, and Radio Shack may have one model of HD radio. They are inexpensive now. You can get one for as little as, I think, $80. I know Costco was selling a very good one, TAC, for $100 at one point. It was just custom made for them. I tried to buy it online and realized you had to buy it from Costco directly. You couldn't get it online.
Went over by Peoria.
but you can check that out. I would actually, even if the local merchant doesn't have it, if you go to their .com variant, whether you go to Target.com or BestBuy.com or whatever, you will find they have them online that you can order over the internet. And the basic radio can be $80 to $100. I bought a little HD tuner that I plugged into my stereo, and now I can listen to WILL on HD3. When the power is down, I get a crisp, clear signal, sounds great. It sounds just, in fact, it sounds better than the AM broadcast because it's actually closer to high fidelity and it's stereo. So
sure. That's great.
It's worth having.
Like Walmart had one that kind of might have been. So there are, like you said, just next to nothing in the stores. But is it worth buying one, or is it going to become obsolete? Or
well, it won't become obsolete. Is it worth buying one? Well, if you want to hear WILL with perfect fidelity 24 hours a day, AM that is, or even a slightly improved version of the FM, the HD FM is slightly better than the AM, the FM broadcast, it's certainly worth the money. In Champaign-Urbana, of course, WILL is a leader in HD broadcasting. I think WLRW has an HD channel, and there may be one other station with HD in this market. In Chicago, virtually every single station has some sort of HD broadcast, whether it's a simulcast or independent channels. I think it's worth it.
A digital tuner, that's not sufficient. I mean,
it has to say HD radio on it. That it's trademark, and it has to say HD radio.
Okay.
So that's all you need to know. There's a little logo. It says HD, and you know you've got it. And WILL AM is now HD3 on the FM signal because the FM signal provides different programming that has the main FM channel, HD1, and HD2 provides a 24-hour classical service.
Oh,
so
okay.
You have a whole variety of things you can choose from by getting this HD radio.
I see. Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Well, good. Thank you for your answer.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We're a little bit past the midpoint here. Our guest is Rich Warren. He writes a regular column on consumer electronics for the Champaign-Urbana News-Gazette. He's also the host of the radio show The Midnight Special on WFMT and WILL. And occasionally, he is here on this program to talk about consumer electronics. And mostly there, what we're talking about is audio and video. Questions, welcome. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And you can also send along your question by email, will-talk@illinois.edu.
Well, you mentioned turntables. I just want to go back to that.
Ah, turntables.
Because a friend of mine just emailed me a question about, I want to start transferring my vinyl into the computer. How do I get it there? And they make this company called Ion that makes these very cheap turntables that have a built-in converter, and you simply plug them into a USB port on your computer, and voila, it's well, the quality of those is not something, if you're preserving rare vinyl that you really enjoyed and you want a good quality, it's just not a very good way to go. It's convenient, it's easy, it's wonderful, it's cheap, but I still recommend finding a decent, if you have a decent turntable still lying around the house, or buy one used somewhere with a decent cartridge, put a new stylus, new needle in it, and then find used a decent old preamp. You can probably find one for $80 to $100. It doesn't have to be much, but a good phono preamp, and then plug that into your computer. Most computers now have audio inputs, so you can plug a preamp directly into your computer. And then there's a free program called Audacity, among dozens you can download, that will capture the signal and convert it to digital on your computer, and then you can put it into MP3s, whatever you want to do with it. It's more entailed. It requires a little more work, but if you care about the quality of the sound of your LPs, and if you're going to get rid of the LPs after you put them in your computer, you really want to do a little better than some of these bargain basement $80 USB turntables, which have pretty bad needles and terrible tone arms, and the converter that puts it in your computer is not the best possible. It's great if you have five albums and you want to get them in your computer quick and dirty, great. But if you really care about the sound of your vinyl, you'll want something a little bit better. That's what I advise my friend. Yeah, it'll cost you $200. There are some slightly better USB turntables out there. I think Pioneer may still make one. There are a few you can find that are not the bargain basement ones that have a little bit better electronics, a little bit better tone arm. And you can look online for USB turntables, and you'll see the major brands. I think Sony or Pioneer may still make one of those. And then you'll be better off than buying this bargain basement Ion that is just quick and dirty, but not necessarily the best.
All right. Very good. It seems pretty obvious that as we go forward here that more and more people are going to be getting more and more of their media from the Internet. They're either going to be streaming it or they're going to be downloading it. So I'm just thinking about going back to the question that the caller had about Internet television. If you were going to, today, if you're going to go out and buy a new television and you wanted it, whether you do it now or whether you just think someday you might, you'd want to be able to watch Hulu on your TV, or maybe you want to go to Netflix and watch movies that way. I kind of think maybe some of the old bricks and mortar video places know that if they're going to survive, they're going to have to start offering it that way too. So in terms of inputs on the TV, that is places in the TV that you plug stuff in, what should you be looking for?
Well, you want as many HDMI inputs as possible, and most TVs have at least three of those. And the newest iteration, is HDMI. It stands for High Definition Multimedia Input. And they're up to 1.4 now. 1.4 now accommodates 3D television. And if you don't do 3D, generally you can get by with 1.3. These are important. There are also, most TVs have computer inputs of some sort, but HDMI is the way to go because it handles the copy protection, and you're not going to get any streaming media that isn't copy protected. So trying to take it out of your computer or your laptop and put it in the TV if you're trying to stream a movie may or may not work because of the copy protection they put into it. So HDMI is important. That is the standard, and also it's so simple because it handles the audio and the video. It's a single cable that takes care of everything. And it's very convenient. There's going to be a wireless form of it in the next year or so, but let's not worry about that now. Let's just say that you're going to need HDMI. And yes, if you have the money, it's worth it to spend the extra on a TV that's internet-enabled now. That way, they'll have a Ethernet connection for you, or it'll have Wi-Fi or some way to get the stuff into the TV. It's getting so complicated. And what everybody's been hearing in the newscast about net neutrality, what this boils down to, what people aren't aware of and now they're going to be aware of, if we don't have net neutrality, then what the cable companies are going to do, they're going to step in and make it as expensive to stream movies from the internet to your TV as it is to buy the movie or get the movie from them through the cable as a video product rather than an internet product. So if we have net neutrality, then people like Netflix will be able to sell you those $7.99 subscriptions and you can watch all the movies you want for a week or a month or whatever. If we don't have net neutrality, then Netflix is going to end up charging you what the cable company is charging you, because they're going to be paying the cable company a surcharge to stream their content to your TV. I think that's clear. So when people wonder why we should have net neutrality, that's the reason. And the cable company, in the meantime, said, well, we have this investment in all this cable, and we're bringing the internet into your home, and we're not going to slit our own throats. So we expect to get paid for the service we're providing, and this is how we're going to get paid for it. So it's a very complicated thing, but I think in 5 years, even those Redbox DVD rentals are going to be gone, because anybody who has broadband is going to get their movies via the internet. Yeah. And right now those Redbox dollar DVD rentals are, a stopgap thing, and all the places like Blockbuster and Family Video and all those places are going to disappear. I would not buy Blockbuster stock now, even though they have a good online movie rental service. Their brick-and-mortar stores are almost a memory. And DVDs are wonderful. I love them, and they're going to be around for a while, but they're going to be more for collectors and people who care about the ultimate in quality. And even that, there's now some online video available in twice high definition. That's the definition that's twice as good as our current broadcast system. And, of course, you'll need TVs to watch that, and those are coming down the line in 3 or 4 years. But don't worry about that now because we don't really need anything that much better. But
okay. Let's go to the phones for some more callers. Champagne, couple people here, starting with line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Maybe you can save some money on that TV by not buying a tuner. You might remind people that tomorrow, I guess, Comcast is going to complete its digital so-called upgrade, which will effectively, I guess, eliminate the use of tuners by hiding or shielding most of the channels from QAM sets even without going to the set-top box. As far as I can tell, that means that people who subscribe to basic or extended basic service are going to have to buy a HD tuner just to get the free local stations, or am I incorrect?
Well, that's very complex. You will have to use a cable box. You won't be able to just plug the cable into your TV set because the way they've jiggered it is that they've made it, as you pointed out, untunable for conventional tuners. So you're going to need a cable box. It's going to be the same price, or it's going to be $1 or 2 months more for the cable box. But, again, they are trying to make sure that they control what you watch. I personally would not buy a TV set without a tuner because I get perfect reception of all our local stations with a tuner, and that's all I care to watch at this point. I'm not a cable guy, and what I want to watch, I'll watch from the internet. So, yeah, I don't get the 150 or 200 channels that you can get with Comcast offering, but then I guess a cooking channel is wasted on me. I mean, some people would like that, but I don't need all of that. So it is complicated, and I have had letters from readers lamenting the fact that now that they bought a digital TV, and now with Comcast, you still have to get the cable box to go with it. And it gets ever more complicated and ever more proprietary. And I don't know what to tell you. There are very few TVs in the market without tuners, and actually the tuner adds very little cost to the TV set. Perhaps, I mean, $10 is basically the tuner.
I was being facetious, actually.
Ah, okay, yeah.
The trouble is that new TV sets come with only one input, typically, one RF input. And unless you know of a joiner, that means you pretty much have to choose, without an AB switch, Comcast or over the air.
Yeah, in fact, I went through that. I actually had to get an AB switch because I had cable and I had over the air, and finally I said, the heck with the cable, and I told the cable people that I only wanted their internet service basically, but of course I had to take their basic channels because their digital signal was not as good as what I was getting over the air. They compressed it more, so I actually get better video fidelity from the broadcast than from the cable, even though they were digital, and it's putting the consumer in a very difficult spot.
And I think so. And now that Comcast, of course, is going to buy NBC Universal, just think of the possibilities for them.
Yeah, because they then control the content, and you won't be able to get it streamed on the internet unless you pay them to have it streamed on the internet. So they want to be on all sides of you. It's, strangely enough, almost going back to the old days of Ma Bell and the one provider. But thank goodness, they do have competition from AT&T at this point, and the U-verse is being rolled out in most markets, which gives you the same kind of choice but with a fiber optic cable rather than the copper coaxial cable from the cable company. So,
do you think the new plans for Champaign-Urbana will actually give us access to the internet without any content provider in between us?
That's the goal. That's when I read in the News Gazette. That's the goal, is that there will be strictly an access to the internet without you pay for the ISP part of it, but it's not a provider like somebody who wants to have their own content or wants to sell you telephone service or TV service. It's going to be, you pay to get online, but you'll have a direct line. It's not going to be involved with somebody who's a content provider.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful future for those that believe in free enterprise systems.
Except, let me tell you that AT&T and Comcast are lobbying very hard to make sure it never happens. Other states have already lost several cities in other states have had independent internet service where you could just buy the service from the municipality like you would water or whatever. And they managed to get the state legislature to pass laws prohibiting that.
So it's time for us to call our state senator and representative and tell them we want something better.
That may be the case.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. It's interesting. I think now, just recently, I've started to read stories about this whole area, and I've seen a term, I don't know that I've seen it before, cord cutting.
I think is what they call it. And the question is, can I say now I get my television with cable? And people are saying, well, could I live without cable? And the answer is, well, yes, you can. For example, like you do, you can have an antenna. They're still broadcasting over the air just like they used to. So you get your local channels that way. And you might be able to get the other programming by the internet. The only hitch is someone's still got to provide you with the internet. And here locally, we essentially have two choices. You can go with the phone company. You can go with the cable company. Somebody's got to have that wire coming into your house to give you the internet. So I'm not sure that that's exactly cord cutting because you still got to have that wire.
I mean, I prefer to be, if you're going to have that, it should be the same as electrical service, where the state regulates the rates for electricity because there's only one provider. Even though we were supposed to have competition, it never materialized. Yeah. So Ameren can't simply tomorrow raise the rates without going to the state and saying, we want a rate increase. Now, of course, the state may give them that rate increase. But I think that internet access should become a public utility if we don't have any competition. And obviously, unless we do have this big broadband project that's going to be available to the average consumer where you pay just for the connectivity and nothing else, it's a very complex thing legally and technically. And also, think of it this way also. If companies like Comcast manage to get people to use cable strictly and not take the broadcast from over the air, then pretty soon the local broadcasters are going to be forced to come to Comcast on their knees and say, okay, you don't have to pay us anymore to use our signal. We will pay you to be on the cable because people won't be able to get them from the broadcast, which is a frightening prospect. So there won't be any free TV, basically. Mm. You'll pay for everything.
We have about 10 minutes left with Rich Warren and several other callers here. We'll get back to the phones. Champagne, line 2 is next. Hello.
Hi. I have the distinct impression that you guys have been speaking Greek a lot of the past few minutes. So I called up for one clarification, but before that, I'm going to ask, what is a tuner? I have two modern TVs and one TV with a converter, and I just have an antenna.
Well, a tuner is the little circuit inside your television that reaches out and grabs the radio signals, the RF, the radio signal from the TV station, just like a radio station. It's radio waves, and converts it into a signal that can be displayed on your TV set. So you see a picture and sound. It sort of grabs that signal and sends it to the other circuits that then do the picture and sound thing. And it's like the big kind of catcher's mitt. That's your antenna and your tuner work in tandem to grab the radio signal from the airwaves. And it's, if I went to details of how a tuner works, it gets Greek in a hurry.
No. So I can assume that all my TV sets have a tuner.
It's built in.
It's built in, except the new Bose TV does not have a tuner.
Awesome.
That's the only one that I know of that available. For a while, Sony marketed a line of TVs called Profeel, which didn't have tuners, and you had to buy a box if you wanted a tuner. But the tuner is the thing that tunes in, grabs the signal from the airwaves, and makes it possible for the rest of the TV to operate and bring it to your. And that's why if you don't have a tuner, you need to have an external input of your source. So a DVD player doesn't need a tuner, for example.
So since I've got an antenna and all that, so I don't need to worry about that.
Right, right.
Okay, good. The other thing is I have vinyl and I have cassettes that I want to put on my computer. I have Audacity on my computer, I didn't understand what you said that middle thing was. You said there was a turntable and then there was some kind of middle thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I didn't understand that term. And that you plug into the USB port.
Well, okay, no, let's go back a step. If you have a cassette deck, you don't need that middle thing called a preamp. Cassette decks have their own line output, which can go right into the computer if you have the right cable adapter. Most computers have audio inputs these days. Even if you don't have a sound card, most motherboards, most basic computers have an audio input, and you just run the output from the cassette deck into the input of the computer and then use Audacity or a similar program to capture that sound and convert it to the files that you want on the computer. You have to do it in real time, of course. You can't rip it. With a turntable, because most turntables have magnetic cartridges which require extra amplification, you need that little box in between called a preamp that makes a signal strong enough for the computer to hear it. And that's that extra thing. And you can't find preamps these days. They don't even exist anymore, which is why these companies like Ion and a few others are selling a turntable with basically a little circuit that acts as a preamp, then converts it to digital at the turntable, so you can put it straight into the USB port, and the computer can process it as a digital signal. So that's the difference. And again, it gets, I lapse into Greek, and it gets difficult because it is so confusing. Even to those of us who do it every day, who use it every day, I record my radio show onto a computer and edit it on a computer and then convert it and send it by the internet to Chicago to my radio station. And every step of the way is another complexity. Like right now, I'm having some transmission difficulties with my connection, and we're trying to figure out if it's my end or the radio station's end. And it's just horrendously difficult. And you call your cable company for tech support, and you get somebody in India who's reading a script, and it's not, you keep trying to tell them, no, it's not that, it's this. And they said, no, they have to go to the next line of the script. And the first time I tried this, they actually disconnected my internet service altogether. And finally, I called back and got some nice person in Iowa who actually understood what I was asking and solved the initial problem. But it gets complicated. I realize where you're at. It just, half the stuff doesn't make any sense.
All right. Well, it was the preamp that I didn't understand.
Yeah,
what it was,
I mean, so. You used to be able to get them at Radio Shack, and they don't even sell them anymore. But you can go online and find inexpensive preamps just by typing in phono preamp in Google, and you'll find a $50 box that'll do the job.
Photo preamp?
Phono, P-H-O-N-O.
Like phono, oh, say phono, for phonograph.
Phono. Yeah.
Phono preamp.
Okay. Yeah.
And you can find them online. All right, and if I want to do cassettes, I just need a good cassette, and I need some kind of
adapter cable, because most of the inputs on the computer are those mini phone plugs, and you've got probably what's called a RCA plug on the cassette deck. So you need, you can get those at Radio Shack for about $4.95.
Okay, that's it.
Yep.
So, the
but you'll need
an adapter cable and the.
What your computer probably has what's called a stereo mini phone plug input. So you'll need to get the two phone plugs from the phono plugs, rather. It's getting so confusing. From the cassette deck, and go into one stereo mini plug that goes into your computer. That's the way most computers are set up. But check the back of your computer. Check the online help for your computer.
It's an iBook.
Okay, well, then just take a good look and see what it says it needs, and then you'll be okay.
Where will it tell me?
Well, generally, there's online, I mean, the computer has its own help probably in memory,
mm-hmm.
And it will, either that or if it came with any kind of instructions, all three pages, there may be a diagram of what the inputs and outputs are. Most computers usually have that much.
If this is a Mac, I think their website is pretty good with explaining, you know, how to do what you're looking to do.
Yeah, okay. It's much better than with a PC.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks. We'll see if we get at least one more caller here in Urbana, line 3. Hello.
Hi. I'm seeking to replace either it's called a mini system or a compact system. And quite a few years ago, I bought what I thought was high-end Nakamichi SoundSpace 3. And it really has operated just terribly. I mean, too complicated, unreliable connections. And I'm wondering if you could give some advice on brands, suppliers. All I really want to play is CDs and listen to FM radio. I suppose if it had a port for MP3s, that'd be great, too. And I'd like to have reasonable sound quality. So I'll hang up and listen.
Well, the last, I haven't checked on this recently, but last I checked, JVC and Yamaha were still making a couple of mini systems. They certainly made the best when the mini systems were at their height 10, 15 years ago. Sony may still have one, but I would go online and go through their catalogs and type in, you know, if you go to the JVC website or the Yamaha website and type in a mini audio system or something like that, I think you may find one or two models still available. Yamaha made a terrifically good sounding one, really nice design and everything. It wasn't as fancy as the Nakamichi, but a lot more reliable. I recall getting one for some friends of mine about 15 years ago, and they're still using it, so it's proved quite reliable. But those things are sort of fading out now. With the other option is to get a Bose Wave music system, which is kind of expensive, but it's that elegantly looking clock radio type of thing, which takes plays CDs, and it does work forever. I've had one now for ages, and it just keeps going. So that's the other option, is to just, you know, that's a basic mini system these days. If you just want to listen to CDs and don't care about cassettes, it's got a fine FM tuner and acceptable AM tuner and a CD player, and has good sound.
Okay. And should we make the disclaimer that they're one of your underwriters?
Yes, we better do that. Bose does underwrite my radio show, and WFMT handles that, and I don't get my hands dirty. But yes, they do underwrite my radio show, and I do have an affection for their products.
Well, and I think that for people who are interested in something like that, the proof is in the listening. So you just go out and you take a listen to it and see what you think it sounds like. In our house, when it came time for we decided we wanted to get an HD radio, so we went with one from Polk Audio, which I think sounds pretty good and also plays CDs, and you could hook up an MP3 player to it. It was not cheap, but I think that it sounds pretty good. So if people want to get one, essentially what is one box that will do all that stuff, there are a number of manufacturers that make them, and those are just two. So, you know, people can chop around and do comparison. I mean, the important thing is, you know, sit down and listen to it. Sound good to you?
That's right.
You know, take it, just like we always used to say when you're auditioning audio equipment, take a couple of CDs, things that you're very familiar with. You know what they sound like. You know what you like it to sound like, and go there and play the music and sit there and listen for a while and ask yourself, well, does this sound good to me?
Absolutely. That's the way to do it.
All right. Well, at that, we're going to have to finish up with our thanks to Rich Warren. You can see his column in the News Gazette. And there's the show he does that's called, The Midnight Special? When is that show on?
Saturday is at 2 on AM 580, Folk Music and Farce, Show Tunes and Satire, Madness and Escape.
Well, yeah. Thank you very much, Rich Warren, for being here.